and turn to Leviticus, Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. It says, "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another night where we could be in your house. I thank you for each one here tonight again, Father, as we meet together to worship, to sing, to hear from our missionaries. We thank you for each one of them. We thank you for your word and how we can study it, how we can meditate upon it, how we can apply it to our lives. And I pray, Father, tonight that we'll learn some things that maybe we didn't know, or maybe just refresh our memory, and that we would share them with others. And we thank you for all that you're going to do now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the Old Testament, there was a symbolic practice of propitiation for sin, which brought about the temporary forbearance of God's judgment upon Israel. This was the annual sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat of the ark in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, as we read there in Leviticus. And again, as I've mentioned before, aren't you glad we don't have to do that? I mean, I'm thankful that all of that has been taken care of when Jesus came and shed his blood once for all of mankind. We don't have to do that. We don't have to give these sacrifices. We don't have to be concerned about when they have to be performed and all the things they used to do in the Old Testament. We don't have that on us. We live in this age of grace, in the church age, when we don't have that, because we are after Christ came and died and rose again and paid for our sin debts. And so praise the Lord for that. Look at Exodus 25:22, please. Exodus 25:22, it says, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." So this prefigured the permanent propitiation of God's wrath, which would take place not in the tabernacle, but in heaven itself. After Christ's death to pay the full and just penalty for our sin, Jesus presented his blood to the Father, and his sacrifice for sin was accepted as full and final payment for the sins of all mankind. As I said, he paid for all of mankind's sin. That means past, present, and future sins. They're all covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like it when people say, well, that just covered the sins when I first got saved. No, because if you think about it, all your sins were future. Anybody who's alive today, their sins were future when Christ died and covered those. None of us were here prior to Christ coming. Trust me. You might talk a good talk, but you're not going to get me convinced that you were here way back then. It didn't happen, right? So all of that stuff was future. So all of our sins were covered. I had one person ask me one time, if all of our sins were covered, then why do you preach that I have to ask Christ to forgive me of my sins when I sin again? I said, to restore your fellowship. It's not to restore the relationship that you already have, because you are already a child of God if you've accepted Christ as Savior. That never changes. Our fellowship can be broken, though. Some people know how that works in families. I mean, I've had family members that hadn't talked to me for years, right? We're still family. So they choose not to talk to me. That's their choice. But it doesn't change the fact that we're still family. My sister got me a pillow one day, and she said, I'm your sister, and I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. And it's true. I can't. She's my sister. I can't do anything about that. She'll always be my sister, right? And we have this thing going because her birthday is the 1st of May and mine's not till July. And so I always tell her how old she is. And she is 3 years older than I am. So I always give her the much older sister story. 3 years is a lot. When you're the brother, right? And then she usually gets even in July. But anyway, so all of these sins are paid for. All of them. But yes, I will continue as long as I have breath, say yes, when we sin, we need to ask forgiveness so that our fellowship can be restored. The Bible's very clear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I have to get rid of that so that I can have that fellowship still. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 5, it says, "And over it the cherubims of glory shattering the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people." Always having to do this annually. And then Romans 5:10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Thank God that Jesus died, but he rose again. He conquered that death, hell and the grave. We found out through a conversation about things that have currently been celebrated in the Christian community that one of my wife's therapists is a Jehovah's Witness. And she asked me if I made a big to-do over Easter. And I said, I don't make a big to-do over Easter. I make a big to-do over resurrection. And the resurrection is something we should celebrate every single day. And Resurrection Sunday occurs every single Sunday. And I said, so I don't believe in the Easter thing that people celebrate, because Easter is a pagan holiday just like Christmas is a pagan holiday. And I said, but most people would disagree with me in the Christian circles because they haven't studied it and researched it and found the truth. And so she said, well, I believe that. I said, oh, well, that's good. And she said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I went, okay. Well, now we know how to pray there, right? Turns out she knows my sister-in-law and her husband, who are also Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I said, you know, it is what it is. But Jesus only had to come and die once. Pay our sin debt, and that was for everybody. Whether they accept him or not, their sin debt has been paid if they just accept that free gift. It's a free gift, but until somebody accepts it, it's not theirs. And so that needs to take place. And so we'll be praying for her, obviously. And see if that will change things. Colossians 1:20 is our next verse. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, is reconciled. We have peace through Jesus Christ and what he did. And thank God, he did. As I've said before, he could have said it's not worth it, right? He could have said, I've already seen what these people are going to do. I already know what's coming. And said, it's just not worth it. Now, he being God, said it was worth it. It was worth it. And then just before his death on the cross, Christ declared, it is finished. Look at John 19:30. That's why I have such a hard time with people say, well, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ plus. And they add all kinds of things to the list of things that you have to do. And I'm sorry, but when he said it is finished, it was finished. So John 19 and verse 30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This is actually from a financial term, meaning that our sin debt is paid in full. The full penalty of sin and all of the holy demands of justice were fully paid and satisfied by the death of Christ on the cross. It was not necessary, as some erroneously claim, for Christ to descend between the cross and the resurrection to suffer in hell for our sins. The scriptures do teach that Christ descended to proclaim the doom of the lost souls in hell and to lead believers from paradise to heaven. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9. It says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And then 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. First Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in person, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Christ was able to pay the full price of sin on the cross because of who he was. Say, who he is. The sinless, infinite, and eternal God-man. As infinite God, he was able to pay an infinite price for all the sins of all mankind. Then we look at the appropriation of propitiation. The sin debt for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And again, they were all future when Christ died, was fully paid at Calvary. This payment, however, is not personally appropriated until the moment that the believing sinner places his faith in Christ's sacrifice. That's why so many people who say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot have the payment of your sin. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that that happens. So Romans 3:25. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The debt for the sins of all men has been fully paid. Christ did taste death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. The price paid by his death was for all men, including even the lost who reject him and never appropriate by faith the redemption that has been purchased for them. This is seen in 2 Peter chapter 2, which speaks of false teachers who are confirmed for hell. Look at 2 Peter 2, 1 through 4. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And then look at verse 12. But these, as natural beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. The entire chapter confirms their dire sin and their lost condition. They heard the message of truth, but they are hogs and dogs who return to their sin because their sinful nature was never changed by the new birth. Look at verse 22 of 2 Peter 2. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. They are also said to have been bought by the very Lord they deny, as we saw in 2 Peter 2:1. Jesus cared enough about them, even though he knew they would reject him. He still died for them. Still died that they could have eternal life if they would turn from their wicked ways. And I don't know if you've heard today or not, but O.J. Simpson has passed away. And there was a commentary thing I was listening to, and the guy said, unless he repented of his sins, he's in hell today. I said, well, that's true, right? Got to thinking, why would you make that comment, though? What brought about that comment? Of course, ever since people found out he died, they've been bringing up the past and all that he's done and what happened, and God's the judge. God will judge him if he did it, if he didn't do it, whatever the case may be. God will take care of that. But it's true regardless of who you are. I don't care if you're some famous guy or you're some, you know, poor person living on the streets. If you don't accept Christ as Savior, when you leave this earth, when your body cease to breathe and you die, you're going to be in hell if you don't accept Christ as Savior. It's that simple. And people need to know that. And unfortunately, there's people out there that make a joke of it, and there's nothing to joke about. Look at 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. The infinite price Christ paid cannot have been less than sufficient to pay the full penalty for all the sins of all mankind. Yet a gift purchased and paid for may still be rejected and refused. Tragically, though Christ died for all, most will still follow the broad road to destruction, rejecting the blood of Christ and despising the Spirit of grace. And that's true. The Bible says very clearly very clearly. Look at Matthew 7, 13 and 14. This is very clear. That's why when I tell people that most people will not accept Christ as Savior, well, you can't say that. Okay, well, the Bible does. It doesn't say it in those exact words, but that's exactly what it says here. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So if there's few that find the narrow, straight way, that tells me that from the verse here, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going to be on that path. So I think I can definitely say that the majority of people are going to reject Christ. It's sad. But God himself said that's the way it was going to be. That's why I tell people, when you're out sharing Christ with people and they reject, that's their choice. We don't have to like their choice, but they get to make that choice for themselves. All we can do is warn them. Too many times I think people think we have to go out and save them. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to warn them. Our job is to warn. The Holy Spirit is the one to convict. And God brings the increase. It's not our job to try and bring the increase. It's our job to warn. And we need to be diligent about warning people because they're going to spend eternity in a place they don't want to be. I don't care how much they joke about it. When they get there, they're not going to want to be there. And then Hebrews 10:29, and we'll stop with this tonight because of time, but Hebrews 10:29. Says, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God knows who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. We don't. That's why he says, go out and share with every creature, right? We're supposed to share with everybody because we have no idea. And too many times we decide we don't want to share with someone because they might be intimidating or they might be bigger than we are and we become intimidated even though maybe they're not an intimidating person. Maybe they're a very kind and considerate person and we just need to be willing to share. And I always like it when you hear from people and they fly a lot and they share on the plane. And I try to do that every time, every chance I get. But sometimes you get on the plane and they already got their headphones in and they're zoned out on whatever they're doing. And you couldn't talk to them if you wanted to. And so it makes it difficult sometimes. I like the old days when you didn't have all that technology on the plane and be able to do all that because they had to talk. Or sleep, right? So they had to do something. But I always like the ones that say, I always talk loud enough they can hear me three or four rows back. You know, because you want to make sure the message gets to as many as possible. Anyway, we have our week two